since today is Good Friday, I want to be talking on the great exchange. 10 reasons for the cross. 10 things that is available and that took place when Jesus died on that cross. I want to get right into it. Number one, Jesus was punished so that we might be forgiven. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live in his righteousness." Number one, Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. If you have applied the blood of Jesus, I want you right now in the comment section to say, "I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. My sins were nailed to that wooden cross 2,000 years ago. I have already received forgiveness of my sin. I today have the victory because of the cross of Jesus." Hallelujah. Number two, Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. The latter part of 1 Peter 2:24 that I just read to you says, "By his wounds you have been healed." I want you to pay close attention to the tense of that sentence. It is not the present tense. It is not future tense. It in fact is written in the past tense, for it says, "By his wounds you have been healed." I want you to make the declaration right there where you are watching right now. Whether it is that you are watching in your home, even if it is that you are watching in your hospital bed right now, maybe it is that you have the earphones in as you are plugged in, connected, and you are receiving this broadcast right there over yourself, over your body as you behold your mortal body. I want you to declare these words, and even if it is in the past tense, "By his wounds I have been healed." And receive it, appropriate it, snatch it, receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. Numbers 21 verse 9, it says, "So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed." What an interesting, some might even say very weird story in the Old Testament. Even Moses, who had done all of that, never truly understood the foreshadowing portrayed in that, in essence, a prophetic act. For Jesus reveals to the Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up." I have been contemplating this portion of Scripture since the start of this coronavirus outbreak. And I'm here to declare to you today that if God would heal a rebellious people who are disobedient in a wilderness under an old covenant by beholding a bronze snake on a stick, how much more will God now, through Jesus Christ, our high priest, who gave the ultimate sacrifice, who went into that place once and for all, establishing today for us a better covenant based on better promises. How much more when we look upon the cross of Jesus? How much more under this new covenant? How much more will we not receive divine healing when we look upon the one whom they had pierced? When we look upon Jesus Christ in this hour? Hallelujah. Receive the power of God that is evident to heal you right now. The presence of the Lord in your home. The presence of the Lord, maybe even as it is that you are listening to this broadcast, the presence of the Lord is in your home. The power of God is evident to heal you. I've also been contemplating this very interesting fact. The Bible states that Moses lived under an inferior covenant, the old covenant. Then goes on to say that John the Baptizer, being greater than Moses. The Bible then goes one step further to declare that the least New Testament saint is greater than John the Baptizer. In other words, if you were to trace it back to Moses, Moses who had died at the ripe old age of 120, the Bible declares that just before his death, he was still as strong as that of an ox, and he had no eyesight problem. His eyesight had not diminished. So again, I want to say to you, we have access to a better covenant based on better promises with Jesus becoming our high priest. Hallelujah. Father, I even pray right now for anyone that is plagued with any physical challenge in their body, anything that's plaguing their mortal body. They believe in you now for physical healing. I declare the word of Jesus over you, that by his stripes, by his wounds, you are healed now in Jesus' name. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Come on, God's healing power is going all around the airwaves right now, all around the world. If you received your healing, come on, begin to jump up, begin to test it. The power of God is upon you. The glory of God is in your home. The glory of God is going through the airwaves. Receive it, receive it, receive it now. Come on, begin to test yourself. And if it is that you've just received your healing, I know that God has just healed people. He's just set people free. Come on, quickly in the comments, let us know, I have just been healed. And let us know what it is that you've been delivered from. Also, you can go and send us an email, connect with us, phone us right now. We want to be able to connect with you if you've received your healing. We want to rejoice in what the Lord has done in your life right now. Number three, Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God." He became so that we might become. He took on our sinful nature. He took it so that we might receive his new nature. Hallelujah. He became so that we might become. We today are clothed with his righteousness. And that veil, when he cried out, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, giving us access to the realm of the supernatural. Where previously the high priest could only go in once a year into the Holy of Holies, so we today have access to the throne room of God, to the very presence of God, because the veil has been torn. It is time for us, as children of God, sons and daughters, to enter into and to access the realm of the supernatural, to begin to operate in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Come on, right there where you are, say, "Lord, I want to be activated to walk in the supernatural. I want to move in the realm of the supernatural." The Bible says, "You have not, for you ask not." So ask him right now. Father, I pray for the activation of people to walk in the supernatural power of God, that signs, wonders, and miracles will be the norm in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Number four, Jesus tasted death for us so that we might share his life. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Oh, how I love this. The first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam, who is Jesus, a life-giving spirit. He is giving you his life. He gave you his spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, according to Romans 8:11. In John 10, verse 10, we all know this so well. It says that the thief comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. In the Passion Translation, it continues to say this, "But I, Jesus, have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." That is the life that Jesus has come to give us. In stark contrast to the devil's assignment and his mandate, trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. Hold on to the word of the Lord in this hour, and you will see the supernatural in your life. Number five, Jesus was made a curse so that we might receive the blessing. In Galatians 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. The covenant, the blessing that was promised to Abraham. We are partakers of that very blessing today because we have been reconciled with the Father. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And we have been grafted in as heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have access to the blessing of God. Isaiah 1 verse 19, how I love this scripture. He declares that if you will obey, if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Why is it that the wicked are the ones who eat the good of the land? But Christians feel that they should be satisfied with the crumbs that are falling from the master's table. Where in fact we are the honored guests. We are the sons and we are the daughters of God. For God has promised us in Psalm 23, behold, I have prepared a table for you in the presence of my enemy. What the enemy has meant for harm, even through this lockdown, even through this COVID-19 situation, what the enemy has meant for harm, God will turn around for good. You will dine and you will enjoy the best that the land has offered. And the enemy will look in envy upon the blessing of God that is evident in your life. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Number six, Jesus endured our poverty that we might share His abundance. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. 2 Corinthians 8:9, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich. Number six, He endured our poverty that we might share His abundance. Number seven, Jesus bore our shame that we might share His glory. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely He has borne our griefs and He has carried our sorrows. I want you to know, child of God, He took your shame, He took your guilt, He took your condemnation, even your self-condemnation, and it was all nailed to that cross 2,000 years ago. I come even now, and I speak to anyone who's still carrying something from their childhood, something for many years. You've carried it. It's resulted in depression. It's resulted in mental illness. It's resulted in fear and anxiety. You're having panic attacks. I declare over you now the blood of Jesus. I rebuke every demon. I rebuke every spirit of sickness. I rebuke anything that has tried to keep you bound. I tell you, be removed in Jesus' name. Be set free in Jesus' name. Receive it now. Receive it. Appropriate it. Number eight, Jesus endured my rejection that I might have His acceptance with the Father. John 6:37 says, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. And I pray that above all, you will have a supernatural encounter with the love of God through the person who is Jesus, who is love personified. Have an encounter with Him. Number nine, He was cut off so that we might be joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and then 1 Corinthians 12 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one spirit and all share the same spirit. What a powerful revelation. You have been joined to Him. And who the Lord joins together, may no one separate. Hallelujah. Then number 10. Our old man was put to death in him, so that the new man might come to life in us. John chapter 3, verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, listen to this closely, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When you look into your mirror, maybe you've just gotten dressed. Maybe you're sitting there and there's a mirror close by. Or maybe it is that you're just about to get ready. You're about to put your makeup on. You're about to do your hair. You're about to look into the mirror. Look up into that mirror and ask yourself this question. What do you see? The Bible declares that when you look into the mirror, you will see a reflection of the glory of God, because you have an unveiled face. The veil has been lifted. And it comes through a personal revelation of Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That is why I want to ask you, if you're watching this, if you're listening right now and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all of these promises I've shared, all of the reasons from the cross, is only applicable to those who say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died for me. He died for my sin. He died for my sickness, for my disease. He died for my poverty. And on the third day, He was raised back to life. The Bible says there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. So receive that now as we begin to pray. Right there where you are, if you've never given your life to Jesus, get ready. Maybe it is that you prayed this before, but you're not where you're supposed to be. Get ready as we pray this prayer. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I have sinned against You. Today, I ask that You will forgive me as I repent of all of my sin. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. From this day, I will never be the same ever again, in Jesus' name. Amen.